This is Jim Field.
And this is Deb Field.
And this is your Nishna Valley. Ha ha, you were expecting to hear Stacy Linford, weren't you? We fooled him again. Stacy is planning to be back this coming week, so she should be back with us here on the program this week. So I pulled in my emergency fill-in once again. You're kind of getting to be a semi-regular.
It's getting looked that way, isn't it?
If this were Hollywood, you'd have to buy a SAG card already. You'd have had to join the union.
Ooh, that's bad.
Been in here that many times. Hey, I don't know what you have planned this weekend, but it probably got postponed. What a rotten weather time. You know, we have had weather so nice all winter long. I mean, I'm trying to remember. How many snows have we had? Maybe two?
Something like that, probably. Total of an inch, maybe. Yeah, those two.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think we've had much more than just a few inches of snow at all winter long. And then all of a sudden, this rolls along. We knew it couldn't last forever.
It's pretty out.
I guess that's one way to spin it. It does look nice as long as you're sitting indoors looking out the window.
If you didn't have to drive out here to record this.
Oh, is that a hint? It's one of those deals where, boy, I tell you what, a lot of things. One of the things that happens at a radio station in weather like this is the phone lines burn up. We've had a lot of phone calls here the last couple of days now, too, with folks letting us know what their schedules are. And we'll tell you, in fact, I'll just go ahead and do that right now, tell you about some of the cancellations that are still in effect. We had an awful lot of them come up during the day on Saturday, but as the weekend goes along as well, here's some things that ended up being postponed to later dates. For example, we had some school activities that ended up having to be postponed, and also some business and other activities. The Anita Livestock was supposed to hold a special cattle sale this Saturday, February 4th. They had to postpone that until February 11th. Also, the Boys Class 2A sectional wrestling meet, which was to be held in Harlan. Yes, that's the one that Atlantic was wrestling in. That had to be postponed on Saturday. So instead, that has been rescheduled for Monday, and they'll start wrestling at 4 o'clock. Of course, that's important to try to get that in because, well, it's the postseason wrestling tournaments now. But also Tuesday night, the top two teams will be advancing on into the dual team wrestling, so they'll have to get that in as best they can there. So again, Monday night, 4 o'clock is when that'll start the 2A sectional meet in Harlan. And also some other things that have been postponed from around the area. The Adair Casey alumni basketball event that they were holding, that's been postponed until Saturday, February the 11th. That'll start at 6 p.m. Also, the state speech contest at Ankeny has been postponed from this Saturday until next Saturday, February the 11th. And let's see, we also had the Adair Public Library retirement party that they were holding for Bertha Fagan. That has been postponed this Saturday, the 4th, and it'll be rescheduled for next Saturday, February the 11th. That'll be at the same time. That's from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. The Cass County Health System Annual Awards and Recognition event also that was scheduled for this Saturday night, February 4th, that has been postponed. They haven't rescheduled it yet. They'll let us know, and we'll let you know when they do that. Several cities around the area have snow emergencies in effect, too. The city of Griswold declared a snow emergency as of midnight Saturday morning, and that snow emergency is in effect for 48 hours or until all the streets and alleys have been plowed. That means the vehicles have to be parked on the even-numbered side of the street and then moved after the odd-numbered side is cleared off. Also, the city of Red Oak issued a snow emergency, and that also began at midnight Saturday morning. The city of Nottoway issued a snow emergency. That started on noon on Saturday, and it continues through noon on Sunday. And then also the city of Corning has declared a 24-hour snow emergency, and that started at noon on Saturday. That means no parking allowed on marked snow routes during the first 12 hours of that snow emergency. So that's a look at some of those postponements and cancellations and things that we have had. Keep listening to KJAN throughout the weekend. The snowfall pretty much supposed to have ended by Saturday night, but you know how the residuals go sometimes. We'll see how that clears out as time moves along. Well, it's probably a good weekend to stay indoors, I would guess. Is there anything to do indoors this weekend? Is there anything on TV to watch?
Maybe tomorrow.
Tomorrow. What do you mean tomorrow? You mean Sunday?
Sunday, yes, sir.
Yeah, on Sunday? Sunday afternoon, perhaps? Sunday late afternoon, perhaps? Are you thinking like a football game?
The big one.
What's the big one?
The big one where the Giants are going to win. Hopefully.
Oh, you're talking about the Super Bowl?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I had something different on my mind. I was thinking the Puppy Bowl.
Oh, the Puppy Bowl. That was always cute to watch.
I was thinking about the Puppy Bowl. Have you checked out the Puppy Bowl at all? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. Maybe you've heard about it, maybe you've never seen it. But on the channel Animal Planet, they have a little thing that they started a few years ago, just kind of on a whim, that's grown into something that's... everybody loves it.
Oh, I know. I like to watch it.
Everybody loves the
Puppy Bowl. The halftime is the kiddies.
Everybody loves Puppy Bowl. Oh, well, this year it's the eighth time, so it's Puppy Bowl 8. Now, you're wondering, what's Puppy Bowl? Well, Puppy Bowl is, they made up a mock-up of a little football field. It's just a little tiny stadium thing they made up. And then they have just a whole bunch of dogs. And these are all, for the most part, animal shelter dogs. Dogs that have been rescued. And they, little puppies. And they take them and they put them out and... on a football field, and they throw some toys and stuff out there. They have a water dish and several different camera angles, and it's one of those things where you sit there for a while and you're watching this, and it's, you just find yourself watching, and after a while you wonder why you watched. Mm-hmm. But it's just, it's kind of cute watching puppies roll around, romp around. They've got an announcer that does play-by-play. They've got a referee that sometimes will flag some of the puppies for things like unpuppy-like conduct, unnecessary roughness. You know, things like that. So it's just, it's one of those things that's just kind of, I don't know, it's fun to watch.
Until they get tired and they all take a nap.
I know.
It's kind of boring.
They are puppies. That's kind of the way puppies go. They knock themselves senseless and then they're tired and they lay down and go to sleep. That's why they have several different groups of puppies during the course of the time. And then they always have an MVP during the course of the day. And then the halftime show is something else too. That's your favorite, right?
Since I'm a cat lover, I like to watch the little kitties play.
They usually put this big contraption out there that is just a kind of a kitty palace type thing. And then you just watch kittens play. The kittens will play at halftime. They'll throw confetti and stuff, and they'll sit there and bat balls around, and sometimes they'll just lay there and sleep. But, it's Puppy Bowl 8. It starts at 2 o'clock on the channel Animal Planet on Sunday afternoon. It's one of those things. Now, they do have a couple of new things this year they've added. One of those is... Well, it has to do with technology these days. I mean, what do people do, especially young people, what do people do these days? They want to keep you informed on everything that's going on. The social media is such a big deal. So Puppy Bowl has moved into the social media realm. They will have Meep the bird actually there in the stadium tweeting all the action.
How clever.
You caught that? You understood
tweet,
all that?
Tweet the bird, tweet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought they should have had maybe Tweety Bird, but I guess there's a copyright deal on that. But Meep the bird will tweet all the action from inside the stadium. And also this year, they'll have cheerleaders for the first time.
What animal are those?
You pretty excited about that? This will be the Piggy Pep Squad.
Oh,
they'll have the little miniature pigs in there that will be hamming it up on the sidelines. And they'll be squealing with delight for their favorite pups. All that action going on. I mean, so with all that said, seriously, how do you miss that? I mean, how do you miss that? What could you possibly do on Sunday afternoon that would be a better lead-up to the big Super Bowl game than the Puppy Bowl? It's a great spectacle. I like the Puppy Bowl. I always feel bad if I miss it, so I want to see that. It's always good theater. You don't agree with me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're just nodding
I'm
your
speechless.
Head.
I'm
speechless.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's got to be it. Oddly enough, there's not a lot of barking at Puppy Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed that over the years? Not a lot of noise coming out of there all the time. Well, a lot of snow around here these days, but there's still quite a bit of things going on. Several activities and events that are planned for around the area here in the coming days, and you've got a rundown.
Yes, on Sunday, February the 5th, the Adair County 4-H Youth Council Soup Luncheon will be held at the 4-H and FFA building on the Adair County Fairgrounds in Greenfield. They will be serving chili and cheesy potato soups, relishes, and assorted pies and bars from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. for a free will donation. All profits will be used to buy meat products for local food pantries and help pay for a meal that members will prepare for families living at the Micah House, a homeless shelter for families in Council Bluffs. Then the Marnie Community Club will have their regular meeting on Sunday, February 5th at 4 p.m. at the Marnie Community Center. Please note the earlier time due to the Super Bowl. Cass County Iowa Extension is offering Annie's Project, and that will be on Monday, February 6th.
That's the deadline for registrations is Monday, February 6th.
Okay.
So you better plan for it soon.
Okay. The six-week course is designed especially for farm women to help them develop their management and decision-making skills for their farms. The course will be offered for over six consecutive Thursday evenings beginning February 9th and ending March 15th. Each session will last from 6 to 9 p.m. with a light dinner served. The cost is $75 per person, and each participant will receive software programs, handouts, access to ISU Extension online courses, and an Annie's project portfolio. Course size is limited, and today is the deadline to register. Again, on Monday, February 6th is the deadline to register. And to do so, you call the Cass County Extension Office at 712-243-1132 or go online to www.extension.iastate.edu/cass. The Atlantic Community Schools annual Band Spaghetti Supper will be held on Monday, February 6th from 5 to 8 p.m. in the High School Commons. Tickets are available from any band student in grades 7 to 12 or at the door or by contacting Mr. O'Donnell at the high school. On Wednesday, February 8th, the Commercial Ag Continuing Education will begin at 9 a.m. at the Shelby County Extension Office in Harlan. St. John's Lutheran Church in Audubon will have a sweetheart dinner on Wednesday, February 8th, and that will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Staley's Chicken and all the trimmings will be featured. Kim Jordan of Anita Engraving and Awards will present a small family-owned and operated business at a noon meeting of the Young Professionals of Atlantic on Wednesday, February 8th at the Iowa Western Community College. The presentation is sponsored by the Atlantic Chamber of Commerce as part of its continuing effort to support established businesses and attract new startups in Cass County. The presentation is the first of Young Professionals of Atlantic's Meal with a CEO, Clearly Experienced Owner, mentorship program that will be occurring every other month in 2012. Attendance to the luncheons and dinners is open to all working professionals ages 21 to 40 in the area. Chamber members are not. Those wishing to attend should RSVP to the Atlantic Chamber of Commerce by February 7th. A soup, salad, and bread lunch will be provided for $5. On Friday, February 10th, it will be the 11th Annual Wyota Volunteer Fire Department Romantic Dinner Experience. The menu includes a choice of ribeye or Windsor chop with baby red potatoes, corn or green beans, dinner salad and roll, and filled cream puff or jello cake for dessert. Tickets are $50 per couple. Get yours by calling 712-250-0078 or 249-0921 or 783-4264. Proceeds help fund ongoing training and equipment for the Wyota Fire Department. On Saturday, February 11th, there will be Progressive Rural Isle Development Enterprise Pride Legislative Coffee, and it will be held at 10 a.m. at the Legion Hall in Messina. Senator Nancy Butker and Representative Clell Bodler and Jack Drake will be joined by Mike Cormack, the policy liaison to Jason Glass, director for the Iowa Department of Education and former social studies teacher from Messina. The Atlantic Lodge, Elks Lodge Valentine Dinner will be held on Saturday, February 11th with reservations at 5:30 p.m. and 7:30. The meal includes your choice of prime rib or shrimp with salad and roll, baked potato, dessert, and one glass of wine or sparkling juice. The cost is $20 per person with tickets available at the lodge or at Rex Pharmacy. The cutoff date for tickets is February 7th. The dinner is open to the public and everyone is welcome. Please call 249-9745 with questions. And on Saturday, February 11th, there will be the Great Backyard Bird Count Program at the Atlantic Public Library Rooms at 1:30 p.m. Come learn how to participate in this wonderful citizen science project. We will also cover some basic bird identification. This is a wonderful family program for bird watchers of all ages and is free of charge. To participate in the bird count, either call the Conservation Board at 712-769-2372 and receive everything you need in the mail or pick up in the office, or go to the website. It's www.birdsource.org/gbbc/. and follow the instructions. Wednesday, on February the 15th, a safe food class will be offered at the ISU Extension and Outreach Adams County Office in Corning from 2 to 4 p.m. Barb Fuller, ISU Extension Nutrition and Health Program Specialist, will conduct this training program. It is designed to provide basic food safety and sanitation information useful to all food service employees. This does meet the state sanitation training requirements for most food service operations. Topics include employee health and hygiene, prevention of cross-contamination, time temperature of foods, and proper cleaning and sanitizing practices. Material is based on Food Code 2005. Cost is $35 per person, and the deadline for registration is February 10th by calling Misty at the ISU Extension and Outreach, and that number is 641-322-3184. There will be a Red Cross blood drive on Friday, February 17th from 2 to 7 p.m. at the Town Hall at 643 Street in Avoca. Also, a Red Cross drive will be held from 8:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. at the Tri-Center High School, and that address is 33980 310th Street in Neola. And another Red Cross blood drive will be held on February 17th, and that one is from 7 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Allegiant Health Community Memorial Hospital, located at 631 North 8th Street in Missouri Valley. And on Saturday, February 18th, the Greenfield First Presbyterian Church Third Annual Scrap Fest event will be held. The registration fee is $30, and that includes three meals, snacks, and beverages. You can contact Lori Armstrong at 641-743-8245. And the event is located at the church at 102 Southwest Kent Street in Greenfield in the lower level. Participants are able to attend from 9 a.m. to midnight. Several vendors will be on site, many nice door prizes will be available, and plenty of workspace will be offered. Delicious homemade meals and snacks will be provided. Come enjoy a full day of fun, great food, scrapbooking, prizes, and total relaxation.
A lot of stuff.
Lots.
Valentine's Day coming up, too, so that means a lot of different types of things, too. So make sure you make your plans for that. We talked a little bit about that. I know you gave them some of the details and some of those Valentine's Day things, but the Wyota Volunteer Fire Department's dining experience, they do that on Friday, February 10th, and Saturday, February 11th. They have two different nights, so make sure you get in on that because there's only so much time to do that. And then the Atlantic Elks Lodge having a Valentine's dinner as well. They have two reservation times on Saturday, February 11th, 5:30 and 7, so make sure you get your tickets ahead of time so you can get yourself logged in for the times that you're looking for those activities coming up. You don't want to leave your sweetheart hanging, right?
That is most definitely correct. Caught me off guard on that one.
It's pretty close, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, very good. Well, we're going to take a short time out. Stay with us. We'll be back right after this.
Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cache County Memorial Hospital.
Generally, occupational therapy focuses specifically on hand and wrist and elbow injuries, while physical therapy addresses the back and lower body issues, any kind of leg, hip fractures, knee problems, etc. And physical therapy often works with a patient's mobility, their ability to transfer and ambulate, while occupational therapy would focus more on the patient's everyday tasks, such as dressing and bathing, preparing meals, things like that. And occupational therapy also tends to work a little bit more with cognitive issues, testing for cognitive decline and whether a patient is able to function safely on their own at home or if they would benefit from having more supervision. We complete safety evaluations in patients' homes to make recommendations so they can increase their safety and reduce their fall risk. There's a lot of areas where we overlap, but there's a lot of differences in what our goals are too. So
again, that's Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cass County Memorial Hospital.
All right, back with more here in our program as we continue along. We talked a little bit about some Super Bowl, and I'll give you some helpful tips here in just a little bit. But first, time for some birthdays here in the area.
Birthdays at the Friendship Home in Audubon. We had Mary Brannon. She celebrated her birthday on the 2nd, so she celebrated with you on Groundhog Day.
Yay.
Groundhog Day. And Norma Peterson will be on the 5th. Dolores Feltner will be celebrating her birthday on the 7th, and Lois Oakley and Betty Christensen on February 11th. Then at the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn, we have a birthday Irma Madsen, who'll be celebrating her birthday on February 11th. And then at the Xyra Care Center, celebrating his birthday on the 10th, will be Robert Simpson.
So congratulations to those folks. We hope they have the good birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
Very good birthdays. We do appreciate those facilities sending in the notes about the resident birthdays for us as well. I don't have any anniversaries to tell you about this week. I do have a baby, though, to tell you about. We don't get them very often because the hospitals refuse to report simple stuff like that anymore. So we still do, however, get calls time to time from some of our listeners. And we did get a call. Marge Goebbels, a longtime KJAN listener and fan. Marge, we're a fan of yours as well. She sent us in a note the other day for our Who's New in Pink and Blue, so we'll share it with you here this weekend as well. Here recently, a boy was born to Adam and Nicole Goebbels of Panama. And the grandparents include Dean and Norma Goebbels of Panama. And the great-grandmother is a proud Marge Goebbels of Harlan. So, Marge, thanks for calling that in. Congratulations on the addition to the family. That's a good time, isn't it? You get to spoil them and send them home.
Mm-hmm.
Always a lot of fun. Well, as we mentioned earlier, we have this is Super Bowl weekend. Lots of things going on with the Super Bowl this weekend. A lot of folks will be gathering for parties and getting friends and perhaps even family together to sit down and enjoy the big football game. Who does the cooking? Just whoever's handy.
Everybody.
Everybody? Everybody. You know, that seems to be the way with a lot of Super Bowl parties. Whoever hosts the Super Bowl party will probably do a little more. But don't a lot of folks do potluck type things?
Or just a lot of hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah, it's kind of been my experience over the years. People bring things into to the parties. So things you kind of want to watch out for. The USDA offered a little ditty that they call refereeing a safe Super Bowl party. And it includes, for example, illegal use of hands. That includes avoiding penalties for illegal use of hands. You don't want unclean hands. Those are one of the biggest culprits for spreading bacteria. And finger foods at parties are especially vulnerable. And isn't that kind of what you do at Super Bowl parties and things like that? Mostly finger foods? Chefs and guests should wash their hands with soap and warm water for 20 seconds before and after you handle food. And be sure to clean the eating surfaces often as well and wash the serving platters before you replenish those with fresh food. And don't suffer through an offsides penalty. Think of your party fare as two different items, cooked versus ready-to-eat foods. You want to prevent encroachment at all costs and keep each team in its own zone. The juices from raw meat can contain harmful bacteria that can cross-contaminate other foods. So you want to use one cutting board for raw meat and poultry and another one if you're cutting up veggies or foods that will not be cooked. If you only use one cutting board, make sure you wash it with hot soapy water after you prepare each food item. And there's also those equipment violations and holding penalties, too. You want to call a timeout and use a food thermometer to make sure that meat and poultry are safely cooked. Remember, internal temperatures, not meat color, indicate the doneness. Now, holding may be one of the most likely offenses if your referee encounters your party lasting late into the night. Never hold foods for more than 2 hours at room temperature. You want to refrigerate or freeze leftovers promptly to block any offensive bacteria from multiplying. And those same rules apply for cold foods. If cold food has been sitting out for more than 2 hours, you don't want to eat it. When in doubt, throw it out of the game and throw it out of your party as well. And of course, there's also the false start. When it comes to foodborne illness, no opportunity for an instant replay. To avoid these infractions, you want to make sure you understand the rules completely. So make sure you take care of things safely as you're preparing. The last thing you want is for someone to get sick after they come to your Super Bowl party. You have favorites? Any favorite dishes for the Super Bowl?
I like little smokies.
Something simple?
Mm-hmm.
It's usually the easiest way to go. Something easy, nice and simple, so you don't have to spend a lot of time with it, and folks can just enjoy. I had a couple of recipes here, too, that are kind of interesting. Here's one, too, that I noticed. It's baked tortilla crisps. You can make a whole lot of them here. It says the ingredients are just 6 whole wheat flour or corn tortillas, cooking oil spray, and then salt is optional if you want to try that too. But the instructions are all pretty simple. It says to preheat the oven or the toaster oven to 400 degrees, then lightly grease a baking sheet with cooking spray. And then cut the tortillas into 8 wedges using a knife or a pizza cutter, like cutting a pizza. Place them on a baking sheet. Then spray the tops of the tortilla wedges with cooking spray and lightly salt if you desire. And then just bake them for 8 to 12 minutes until they're crisp and light brown. But watch them closely because you don't want them to burn. You take them off the baking sheet, cool them on paper towels or the cooling rack, and away you go. If you're not going to serve them right away, which is a shame because they're best when they're served warm, then you just want to store them in an airtight container. And you can, you know, serve them with some salsa or some of your favorite bean dip or guacamole or whatever you're looking for. Real easy stuff to take care of. So enjoy your Super Bowl parties this weekend. We hope you have a lot of fun with that. And then we get you right back to work on Saturday, or on Monday, rather. You know, I really hate the fact that years ago they moved the Super Bowl so late in the day. You know, it used to be that the Super Bowl would start in the middle of the afternoon, like a lot of NFL games, and now it starts at, what, 5:30, mm-hmm. going on 6 o'clock, something like that. It's so late, and then the game, just because of all the other nonsense that goes on with it, it takes so incredibly long. You know, it seems like every year, whatever network has the Super Bowl on TV, they always want to debut a show. You know, one of their new shows or something, or a new episode right after the Super Bowl. Who can stay up that late?
Yeah, by the time the game's wrapped up anymore, it's getting close to 9:30, and if something happens, you go in overtime much later than that.
Yeah, or Madonna takes longer than she's supposed to. Does anybody care about that? I didn't want to watch Madonna 25 years ago when she was actually popular. Yikes. I wish they'd just do away with all that stuff. I mean, I know it's all a moneymaker, and it's not about football. It's about money. So I just don't know how players can adapt like that. You know, you play a certain set of rules during the year, and then you get to the biggest game of the year, and you completely change the way the game is played because that 30-minute half, you know, instead of the 12-minute traditional halftime in an NFL game, all of a sudden, the players have to sit in the locker room for a half an hour or better. It just seems it would be so much more difficult to get out there. All that so we can watch
Madonna.
Whatever. Madonna out there on stage. I guess the NFL did me a favor this year. I have so little interest in watching that I won't feel like I missed anything when I get up to perhaps use the restroom or refresh a drink or perhaps go back to the buffet. And grab something else too. I don't understand all that musical stuff, but I just hope when it comes to music and the big game, the Super Bowl, I just hope the national anthem comes off without a hitch. I really couldn't care less about the halftime show. The national anthem I care a lot about, and it's frustrating to continually watch over and over and over again these vapid individuals that call themselves stars that get up on stage and they know so many different songs, but the one they should know, they have no clue, and then they botch it completely. I can't think of anything more embarrassing than goofing up your own national anthem.
Pretty sad when you don't know the words.
And we've seen it time and time again. You know, I was reading an article the other day, though, that it was a fella who is a music producer, and he actually came up with an argument that I guess I could reasonably accept. But he said, you know, the thing is, he said these artists are used to singing songs. Even if they haven't written the songs themselves, their own popular songs, they sing them over and over thousands and thousands of times. They know the words by heart. It's not a problem. He said the thing about singing the national anthem is, in the first place, it's the largest stage you're ever going to sing it on, usually, because you've got a national television audience with a lot of these games where they do that. So, you know, it can be a little bit difficult for these folks in the first place, because even stars who used to be on stage are a little more nervous with this. But he also said, think about it, it's the national anthem. It's a song that a lot of folks don't sing over and over again thousands and thousands of times. Most of us think we know the lyrics, but he said, actually, in reality, a lot of folks don't know all the lyrics by heart. They know some of them, and then you stand up on stage and sing it. Okay, possibly. But I've every stadium I've been to, it seems like anymore, has some sort of video board somewhere. Couldn't you put the lyrics up on the video board or on that video ring that goes around the stadium to make sure, just in case somebody has a blackout and gets caught up in the moment and forgets the lyrics, they can glance up real quick and make it work?
It might help. I mean, everybody gets nervous, so I could see possibly missing a couple words, so that might be a great way to help alleviate that little problem.
I hope so. Well, please, Kelly Clarkson, do us proud this weekend at the Super Bowl. Oh. We hope you get a chance to do it well for
us.
Yes,
I hadn't heard, so she is singing the national anthem.
Yep, and I hope she does a good job with it. Madonna, don't care. Clarkson, Godspeed. Get the national anthem good. Nail it. Just nail it. That's all the time we have for you this weekend. We hope you enjoy whatever it is you're doing, most likely indoors because of the weather. And again, keep it tuned here to KJA, and we'll let you know if anything else changes because of those conditions. This is Jim Field.
And this has been Deb Field.
And this has been your Nishna Valley.